how we met.
That's our story.
It was almost like we were meant to meet that night.
It was like kind of the classic, when you're not looking, it shows up sort of thing.
I caught the feels.
But I look back at that and I'm like, how did my parents not be like, what the heck?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Story of Us, the show where we get to sit down together every week and hear the real, hilarious, mind-blowing, and sometimes unbelievable love stories of real couples, including all of the details about how they met their partner, what they did on their first date, what they love most about them, what they don't like so much about them, and so much more. I'm your host, Jasmine, and today I'm joined by a fabulous guest who put her heart on her sleeve and gave us such an honest, raw, and vulnerable glimpse into her love life thus far, including all of the trials and tribulations she's been through. Without further ado, here's an introduction.
My name's Emma. I'm 31 and I live in Toowoomba, Queensland, a couple of hours west from Brisbane for the people who don't know it. And this is my story.
I was working at a gym and he came in to sign up. My first impression was that he was rude, but since reflecting on this day, he told me he was just really shy. In the following days, he would always buy a bottle of water, and I started to think he was just doing it to make small talk with me. Sure enough, turns out that was exactly the case. A few weeks later, we both attended the same party, and I actually tried to set him up with a friend. Eventually, we went on a date, and when I came home, I said to my housemate, "I'm going to marry this one." We recently celebrated our first anniversary, and without a doubt, he is my person. I'm so grateful he walked into the gym that day. Now, just before we get into it, a reminder that if you're listening to this right now and you have a cool love story, or you know somebody with a cool love story, I want to know about it. I would love to feature you on the next season of the show. So let me know by submitting it to storyofusthepodcast@gmail.com. All right, here's Emma. Hey, Emma.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Welcome to The Story of Us.
Thank you.
First thing, Emma, I want to ask you is, tell me something about yourself. Tell me something interesting or a fun fact or anything at all that you want to share.
I don't know if it's interesting, but probably when I was about 18, so over 10 years ago, I went and auditioned for Big Brother all by myself. No idea how I did it now looking back. But yeah, I just rocked up to the auditions in Brisbane just as, you know, like a carefree 18-year-old. Like, I'm going to do this. It's going to be amazing. It was terrifying. Would not recommend. I don't know if it's gotten any better over the years, but as soon as they said, you know, put yourself in order from most attractive to least attractive.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, with a room full of, you know, like 50 strangers.
Whoa.
I was like, okay, I don't think I'm cut out for this.
Not for me. So
yeah.
What did you do? Did you stay or did you go?
I think I stayed awkwardly, like for the audition. You know, obviously there were people that went to the front of the line.
Always those so ones.
I'm sure one of them made the cut, but yeah, I was just like, I'm not cut out for this.
Also, Big Brother's no small deal. I feel like people on that show just get completely torn to shreds and roasted. Maybe Married at First Sight is the new version of that. Good on you.
Yeah, lucky that wasn't around back in the day. That might have been terrifying.
Okay, so next question. If you had to describe love, what three words would you use?
Was chatting to a friend about this today, actually, and I said probably my two biggest ones would have to be trust and reliability.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, Em, they're the basic needs in a relationship. And I said, yeah, but I think in my 20s, I just dated people who didn't give me those two things.
Mm.
And obviously the relationships didn't survive. But yeah, I think just not having someone you trust and someone that isn't reliable, you don't realize how lonely you are in a relationship until you don't have those things.
Yeah.
So they're probably my top two. And then my third one would be something like banter. My current partner and I, we just have like so many inside jokes and so many like funny little things we'll say or do. And like, I just love that we have that and no one else really knows what we're talking about, or, you know, it'd be weird to someone else. But I think just having those two things, I really love.
being in a relationship and having a best friend as well is just such a win. I love that. Amazing answer. So next thing I want to ask is, what was your attitude towards love and dating before you met your partner? And you kind of have alluded to it with your previous relationships, but I'm curious to hear more.
Yeah, I think I definitely don't have any regrets because I definitely think, you know, everything has to happen to get to where you are. But sure. I think if I could go back and relive my 20s, I would do a few things different. I think I just dated a lot of people that did not treat me very well. And it was almost like a common theme in relationships where the way they were treating me, I thought was normal. If they yelled at me in an argument or being a bit inappropriate with another female, or, you know, the list goes on, but I honestly thought it was normal. And I still remember calling my sister one day and said, oh, you know, don't really trust him. You know, he's hiding his phone. And she was just like, wow. If you don't trust him, like, what are you doing? It took me a lot of years to kind of realize my own value. It's nice to see how far it's come, because it was a rough couple of years there where,
yeah,
you just, you think it's normal, the behavior you put up with, when it's far from what a relationship should be.
For sure. And then I guess it starts becoming a cycle. Like, you just start to sort of gravitate towards this same personality type because it's all you know. So it's no wonder that trust is one of your words.
Oh, definitely. And I think when my ex-boyfriend and I broke up, I took a bit of time to just find or think, what do I really want in a relationship? Yeah. And even when I did start dating, my housemate at the time would laugh at me because I'd come home from a coffee date and I'd be like, no, he talked about his mum too much, not a fan. I would come home with like these petty excuses, being like, nah, he's just given me the ick or whatever it might be. And my housemate was like, Em, you're so picky. And I was like, yeah, I'm allowed to be, because I've put up with this for so many years.
Damn straight. Yes.
Yeah. So these poor boys, I was like, no, sorry, just not feeling it. And I was just very quick to shut down people, I guess, until I met Jordan.
But I guess that was also probably pretty refreshing. Like, you were maybe in this different mindset now where you're like, no, I'm going to put myself first and what I want, and I'm going to tolerate nothing less than perfect, or as close as we can get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think perfect definitely exists. So there's someone out there, you know, that's your perfect person.
Well, let's get into it. I want to hear all about yours and all about this amazing story. As a massive gym junkie myself, I love and really resonate with this story. So take us all the way back to the very beginning and tell me all about the story of you and Jordan and how you guys met.
I love telling this story. If we get asked, I'm like, oh, okay, sit down, like, get a cuppa, I'm ready. I was working at a gym at the time. I was doing kind of like a membership sales role and working at, say, like, your front reception. And it was during COVID, so we're all wearing our masks. And I see this guy approaching the gym, and he's wearing like a cap, sunnies, and a mask. Look like the biggest creep in that getup. But I said to the person I was working with, I'm like, you know, I'll take one for the team. I'll serve him. All good. You know, I'll get it over and done with quickly. He walks in and he's like, yeah, I'm here to sign up for a membership. And to be honest, I was a little bit rude. I was kind of like, here's the paperwork, like, go over there and fill it out, come back when you finish. Like, did not want a bar of him.
Why was that?
So I think, you know, I was pretty over that role in itself.
Mm.
And then I think just seeing this guy walking in with cap, sunnies, and a mask, mind you, he didn't take the sunnies or cap off when he came in. So I was like, oh, like, what's this guy doing? He finished filling out the paperwork and came back to reception. And I was like, yep, so here's your tag, and kind of like, off you go. And
bye-bye. It's very long. Yeah. You're not getting a tour.
Yeah. And then he goes, oh, a few of my mates actually work here. And I was like, you're kidding. And I was like, oh, this guy is going to go tell our mutual friends, oh, that's such a bitch. She's not friendly. Terrible service. Like, I was worried what he was going to tell my friends. So then I was like, oh, would you like a tour? you know, like just stepped it up and was like, I got you, like I'll book you in for a free PT, you know, like welcome, so great to have you. So fake. But I was like, yep, okay. I was like, we're good. And he leaves, mind you, still wearing cap and sunnies. They're on the whole time. And then, you know, as the weeks passed, he's coming in every day to gym. Mm-hmm. And every day he would come in and buy a bottle of water and like make a bit of small talk. Mm. And it got to the point where I wanted to be like, bro, bring a water bottle. Like, stop wasting your money on waters.
Yeah.
Like,
have we heard of Frank Green, sir? Come on, let's yeah. be environmental.
Yeah. I was just like, what are you doing? But I was still like, oh, like, I hope I didn't give him the wrong impression of me being this bitch. So, you know, I'd be like, hey, Jordan, have a great day. Like, see ya, bye, see you tomorrow. And it was quite fake. And then we were both invited to a party. So I looked at, you know, the Facebook guest list and I'm like, oh, that dude's going to be there.
I was like, great. That's so typical.
Yeah. And so I got to this party and he was there and kind of like, you know, tiptoeing around each other the whole time. It was very awkward, the whole party, but I just got super drunk.
And Dutch courage time, fixes everything.
Yeah. At the time he was working at a bar. So he left early to go to work and we ended up going out to this bar. And anyone that knows me, I'm not affectionate. Don't hug me. Don't touch me. Like, you know. And apparently drunk Emma, when she left, went up and gave him a hug goodbye. And I was like, can't recall. So whether it happened or not, but the next day I go to work super hungover. Again, sound like world's best employee.
Yeah. we've all been there.
And he walks in and I just marched straight over and I was like, I was drunk last night. You should have given me a water. Like, I was mad at him.
Oh my God.
And he's like, yeah, I did. And I was like, oh, well, you should have made me order food. Like, I was way too drunk. You shouldn't have served me alcohol. And he's like, yep, I got you food.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go over here now. Like, please don't look at me.
That is so embarrassing and cute and cringe and sad and funny at the same time.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then I think, you know, after that, we started messaging a little.
How did you get each other's numbers?
So just by Instagram, good old Instagram. Mm. I messaged him first and I was like, hey, I've got this friend I want to set you up with. I think you guys would be great together, blah, blah, blah. And his response was something along the lines of, oh, okay, that's cool, but are you single? Aww. And I was like, oh, wait, what?
so that just happened.
It was a nice surprise because I think by this point I was like, he's making all this effort. And the more we spoke, I was like, oh, he's not bad to talk to. And
feelings started to grow, change.
Yeah.
Do you think drunk Emma kind of had a glimmer of something starting to stir and maybe that's why you were a bit more affectionate if the hug did happen?
Yeah, look, I think it happened just from a few witnesses, but, you know, my dating leading up to this, I was very dismissive of people. Mm. So I think maybe even drunk Emma was like, oh, he's actually not too bad. Like, haven't seen any red flags yet. This could be something. And then I think he messaged me and said, oh, hey, are you free for a drink this weekend? And I said, oh, I've actually got plans. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, next week you can come over and I'll make you dinner. And I was like, oh,
forward.
I like dinner. So
I like dinner. I like food. That will do.
It was like quite the lead up to being from, I really don't want to talk to this guy, to then being like, you know, I want to set you up with my friend. And I think in a way it was probably my way of gauging if he was single.
Yes. Yeah. Was it a real setup or were you just curious? Did you have a friend that you actually wanted to set him up with?
Yeah, I did have a friend and it's funny because she knows Jordan now and like she loves him, but she's like, I love him for you. She's like, you guys are very much meant to be. And she's like, if her and Jordan had led to a catch up or whatever, she's like, I would have known straight away he was into you. So I think she's very much glad that she didn't have to get involved. Because yes. She's like, you know, you guys were meant to be. So
it's funny how that really works out. I have a friend who, there was this guy, and she messaged him once and she was like, hey, like, heard you're moving to this area. Happy to be your tour guide, like super flirty message that I actually coaxed her to send. And now we just all laugh about it. And he was just like, haha, kind of brushed it off. And then like a couple months later, he started dating one of our best friends. And now we just all laugh because we said they were so incompatible. It never would have worked. And it's just so hilarious to think.
Oh, and it's so funny because when I said, you know, he was really standoffish and rude when we first met, it's funny talking to Jordan about it now. And he's like, oh, I was actually just really nervous because I thought you were really attractive. And he's like, that's why I was so quiet. And I was like, oh, I thought you were just being an asshole.
And did you start getting like glimmers and little butterflies and like feelings when he would start coming into the gym?
Oh, yeah. And I think I found as well, you know, while my main job was behind the gym, you'd also have to go around and like clean equipment or refill wipes. And so I found when he came in, I was like, oh, better go do that over here. Oh, you're here. Hey, how are you?
Oh, fancy seeing you here.
Yeah. But yeah, he was very much like, oh, what time are you working today? So it went both ways, I think. Like we both got excited. Yeah, when one was coming in or, yeah, it was really cute.
Love it. And would you consider that dinner date your first ever date?
Yes. And so funny, if you're happy for me to go into the date itself.
Please do.
arrived at his house. He was making like a pasta dish from scratch. From scratch. Oh. Like, I'm like, you can buy that in a jar. That's how I do it. But yeah, he's there making the sauce from scratch. And then he came out with like this beautiful bouquet of flowers. And I had just kind of rocked up in like a denim skirt and like black top, like very cash. And I'm like, oh. Didn't realize we were being this fancy cute, but
yeah, you were like jeans and a nice top vibe.
yeah. When he brought the flowers out, I kind of panicked and gave him a kiss on the cheek. We kind of sat out on the deck and just spoke for hours, and I think it got to 8:30, 9 o'clock, and he was like, oh shit, do you want dinner? And I was like, yeah, I'm starving. Like, but we'd just been talking for hours, so
that's a great sign.
Really realized. Yeah, and just had the best night. I left because I had to start work early the next day. But the next day my housemate was like, oh, how'd you go last night? And I said to her, yeah, I think I'm going to marry this one. And she was like, sorry, what? She's like, absolutely not. And I was like, yep, like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to marry him.
Wow.
She was like, Em, what's going on? You know, you've been so...
Total
negative
paradox. Yeah. To everything else you've said. Wow. How long was the gap between your breakup with your ex and then meeting Jordan?
Probably only about 6 months.
Not too long.
Yeah. So I think that's probably why I was very just dismissive of everyone. Mm. I was like, just leave me alone. And, you know, I do remember meeting Jordan and saying to my friend, like, oh, it's too soon, you know, like, I shouldn't be dating anyone yet. And she was just like, Em, if you let him go, you're going to regret it. Like, don't stress about what's right or what's wrong. If you think he's good for you, then, you know.
Just go with your gut. Yeah. Did you have feelings that you were like, I want to be single for longer because I've just come out of this relationship. Like, it's important for me to be single. Is that why you kind of had those reservations?
I think I was, yeah, probably a little bit worried. I was like, oh, like, wasn't expecting to meet someone. Mm. Like, I was dating, but I was, yeah, probably not in the right mindset.
And naturally on the defense.
Yeah. But in saying that, I think Jordan was really patient with me as well. Like, I probably had a few issues from my past relationship, but I think just the way he handled that, like, for example, I still remember us having a bit of an argument in the early days. And I started yelling at him, and really calmly, he's like, Em, why are you yelling at me?
Mm.
And I was like, oh, because you're not listening. And he's like, no, I am listening. Like, I can hear you. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh my God, that's what I've been doing for the last 10
years. Yeah, that was your norm.
Mm. But as soon as that happened, like, I've never raised my voice or like yelled at him ever again because I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. We can just actually talk about it. And it was kind of nice. I'm like, oh, I'm not in that toxic cycle anymore. Even though it was soon, I just think in so many ways it was like good timing, and I'm like, I'm not going through the same relationship as I did before, which was really nice.
Yeah, you broke the cycle, which is a testament to you as well. So that's awesome to hear. That all happened during COVID. You guys met during COVID. So I imagine there's been heaps of evolution in your relationship thus far. Talk me through that a bit.
Yeah, it was kind of off the back end of COVID. Neither of us had actually caught COVID during, you know, the 2.5 years or whatever it had been.
Superhumans.
And then, yeah, I know, right?
Especially working in a gym. How's that possible? Yeah.
Lots of hand sanitizer. I feel like things have evolved really naturally. Like last year I bought a unit, and it was funny when I moved in, I was like, I'm just going to, you know, Jordan can stay at his place for a few months and I just want my own space, not in a rush for him to move in. And then I think without either of us really realizing, he would be here like 4 nights a week, 5 nights a week. And it kind of got to a point where I was like, you're pretty much living here. Like, are you ready? I'm ready. Even things like that. While they move quickly, like for us, they just felt really good. Right.
Yeah.
You know, even recently we've like gone looking at rings and things like that. Wow. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, very exciting. I have to ask you, now that you guys know each other so well, what do you love most about Jordan?
Yeah, I actually thought the question about what do you like the least was coming first. He's just, I don't think I've ever come across someone who's like so much in my corner. Even this job opportunity came up at my work recently and I was like, no, I'm not qualified. Like, you know, I just didn't have the confidence. But he was really in my ear being like, Em, you'd be great at it. And he like encouraged me to apply and I got the job. And
wow,
I
said to congratulations.
Thank you. But I said to my boss, like, oh, if it wasn't for Jordan, I wouldn't have even applied. So I think he's just kind of given me the confidence back that I was really lacking. But he's just the most like thoughtful and caring person. Just the little things, you know, like I'll come home and the house will be tidy and just, it's so silly, just the small things. I came home today and there was like an envelope on the bed with my name on it. And I was like, oh, who's that from? And he's like, oh, I just wanted to write you a letter today just to tell you how much I love you. And
My God. That is so nice.
Yeah. But he's like always dropping in coffees to work and he knows my love language is acts of service. Anything that just makes my life easier, I swear he's doing before I can even think about it. Like I said, he's looking after everyone and there's even times where he'll just be like so loving towards me and I'll be like, oh yeah, thanks. And then I'll be like, oh crap. Yeah. Love you too.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys are very much yin and yang, balancing each other out.
Yeah. He's the affectionate one.
What if there's anything, and it doesn't have to be, but I feel like there's got to be, even though you said everyone's perfect, there's got to be something. What is it that you may not like as much?
So he actually gave me the idea. I would have to say, if anything, his snoring occasionally. It was actually funny when we first started dating, he was over at my place and snoring his head off and I was tired, had my insomnia happening. So I just like held his nose and he woke up in a panic and I was like, I'm sorry, it was really bad. He's like, just, you know, wake me gently next time.
Like, forget the light punch, forget the subtle kick. Like, you basically suffocated him.
Yeah. The poor guy. Why he came back, I don't know. But I can't say too much, really.
That's one that a lot of people tend to say, because especially if you're a light sleeper, I really don't know how people do it. What do you guys love to do together?
I swear we sound like a married old couple, but honestly, I feel like we could just do anything or everything. Like one of our favorite things to do is like watching footy on the Friday night on the couch with like a bottle of wine and takeaway pasta or something like that.
He's moved from the homemade stuff to the takeaway stuff now.
I know. I think that's my fault. I'm like, oh, I'm such a lazy cook. So anything easy is good for me. Yeah.
The little things are the best things. Like I don't care what people say. Like sometimes the big fancy gestures are kind of just that. And yes, they're nice every now and then, but like sometimes it's nice to just step back and realize like, wow, I'm so lucky right now to be able to do these little things.
You know, I said to Jordan one day, I was like, are you bored with us? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, we don't fight. You know, we just have a very kind of like calm relationship. And he's like, and this is goals. He's like, this is goals to me. So
I read a really interesting article, or it might have been a podcast that I listened to.
And essentially what they were saying was that those initial sparky feelings, that chemistry, those flames, all of that exciting stuff that you feel at the beginning of a relationship is of course there, but a lot of it is actually generated from stress and anxiety and nerves. And we actually look at that as sparks. And then once you start to become comfortable in your relationship, as time progresses, as you get to know the person a little better, that anxiety, those nerves, they ebb away because you become more comfortable. And sometimes people can mistake that for losing their spark, when in actuality, they're really just becoming more comfortable. And I think it's a fine line to sort of walk if you're not quite sure, have I lost it? Is it still there? Or am I really just now in a really secure space with this person?
Oh, big time. And I think as well, you know, there's a lot of times I come home from work really stressed, but Jordan just kind of knows what to do and what to say and what not to say to like make sure that I'm okay and not to add to the stress. Whereas that's probably where past relationships have gone wrong, because they're a big part of the stress in your life. So
And you want your relationship to be a sanctuary. You don't want it to be a space of volatility and negativity and unease.
Yes.
What is the best piece of dating advice that you've ever received or that you have to give? Or, you know, that might come from your own experiences having tumultuous past relationships and now being in one that is so perfect for you by the sounds of it.
Jokingly, I'd love to say just don't date until you're 30, because that's what would have worked for me. No, but I definitely think, you know, I've got friends and I've said to them they have a specific type, and I think you've just got to be really open, because, you know, my first opinion of Jordan was like, oh, don't want to talk to this guy. Let's get it over and done with. And that was purely just going off like his appearance on the day with
the glasses and the mask.
Spy outfit.
Spy outfit.
You know, you really just have to open up to different types of people. In my 20s, I went for a particular type and just kept making the same mistakes over and over. So yeah, I think if you can just open up your options and just give people a chance as well, I think.
And I think it's good to have people around you who are like honest with you as well and can help you break that pattern, because sometimes you can't see it by yourself.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I feel like I've hit the jackpot now. So,
And maybe you needed those experiences to get you to where you're at now.
Oh, definitely. And I think the little things that Jordan doesn't go unnoticed. And I'm really grateful for them, because, yeah, if you've been deprived from, you know, like I said, trust and someone reliable, then once you do have it, you really appreciate it. So,
but I also want to give you credit, because I'm sure you are as equally as amazing as a girlfriend. I can just tell based on speaking to you how lovely and how kind and how genuine you are.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I appreciate the kind words.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And there you go, everyone. That was the story of Emma and Jordan. I think it's a really good reminder to never settle for anything less than you are worth. And if someone isn't delivering that, then it's okay to talk about it. And it's also okay to walk away. I hope you enjoyed listening to that episode and the season so far. If you did, please go give the podcast a rating and follow it anywhere you listen. Lastly, make sure you follow The Story of Us on Instagram, where you can see pictures of all the featured couples. I'm also now in the process of collecting stories for next season. So if you have a story or you know someone that does, point them in this direction and email storyofusthepodcast@gmail.com. Have a great day, and I will see you next week. Bye!